listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, breaking news as it happens, what it means, but most importantly, why it matters.
Confusion.
Amplifying truth.
And pursuing clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
All right, we've got a lot to get to today. A police officer's firsthand account of what it's like to be a black cop in America when America is under siege. Brendan Tatum will be with us later. The man who wants to be mayor, Curtis Lee, was here. Carol Markowitz from the New York Post. And we get started with KT McFarland. Stick around. It's Kevin McCullough Radio right now.
Binge thinking.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
He is playing the role
as well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad you're here. If you were on the east side today, my apologies. I don't know what's wrong with our city. I don't know why we still have that thing that flies all those flags out there. I've been arguing. In fact, I've been trying to get petitions up for years. Can we get enough signatures to take that place down and just turn it into a parking garage? Because if you could get rid of the place that has all the flags and the funny-shaped building, if you get rid of that and replace it with four or five parking structures, all of Manhattan would cheer. And we'd never have double-parked cars, and you wouldn't have scoff laws being implemented or, you know, being laughed at by these dignitaries that come from all over the country, from all over the globe. And some of them, like, I'm kind of like a little bit nervous that we even let them into the country, much less in our own city. But I'm not in charge of those decisions. And today, one of those that I really couldn't have cared less if he'd come or not is the president. And he did speak before the UN, at the UN, in the normal, customary way that presidents always do speak at the UN. And here to discuss is KT McFarland. Her number one Amazon bestseller, of course, was called Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People. Tells all about the deep state, her own story, interacting with them, and how President Trump really changed the Republican Party and the outlook for politics, generally speaking, but really what happened with her in those years. And it was the number one Amazon bestseller, and I hope that you have a copy if you haven't gotten it. But, KT, we were talking before the show. I don't know if it's like the types of Jell-O that they serve him or the drugs that he has to take at his age or whatever it is, but there is something in the president's routine that causes him to not see the world the same way as most other people see it. And today, he never even mentions China or Russia, and he's at the UN. I mean, this, help me out here, but what did you take away from our president's interactions with the world's gathered leaders there?
He's living in some parallel and alternate reality. He's up there in, you know, the major crises of the world are global warming and COVID and, you know, I don't know, gender rights, whatever he was talking about. And yet what's on everybody's mind is, okay, what's happening with China? Whoa, you've left Afghanistan. Does that mean the United States is no longer going to be the dominant world nation? I mean, all he did, the only sort of positive stuff he did, was he talked about how he's going to spend a lot of money, you know, sort of handing it out all over the world, and then he finishes by saying, oh, America's back. Really? America's back. In other words, the piggy bank is back. We're going to start underwriting everything. We're big leaders again. You're going to love us. And I guess what was really, to me, so jarring, I mean, I'm used to the UN speeches being a lot of pablum, but we've just had 18 months as a globe, as a nation, as a universe, at the United Nations, we just had 18 months of hell. Right, we've gone through pandemics, we've gone through global financial crises, we've got evacuation from Afghanistan, we have China, a rising power, and yet somehow none of these things were addressed. It was all happy talk, happy talk. And as you point out, the two major threats to the United States, China and to a lesser extent Russia, are sort of swept over, and he says, we don't want a new Cold War. Really? Well, we're in a Cold War, and it would be very good if he would acknowledge that to all the rest of the people in the world, who even if he doesn't know it, we know it.
But, KT, you honestly can't be surprised by this, because he literally said at a presser, I think it was about a month ago, just before or just during the Afghanistan evacuation, he gets asked a question. He says, oh, I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about happy things. Like, he literally gave that as an answer to, a member of the press corps that are paid to follow him and ask him tough questions. Let me ask you, from a national security perspective, does it concern you that we are more vulnerable by a president who wants to live in la-la land?
Yes, because the challenges, whether he wants them to happen or not, are going to happen. And if you look, I don't think history repeats itself, but I do think it rhymes. And if I look back at 1961, the Cuban Missile Crisis, in 1963. So in 1961, a new president came in. There was a Bay of Pigs attempt to have the United States invade and occupy Cuba. That didn't work. It was a colossal failure, similar to the failure we've just seen in Afghanistan. And the president at the time, John F. Kennedy, he took full responsibility for it, but the message that it sent to the world, particularly to the Soviet Union, was, hey, look, this is a feckless leader. He doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, America is really on the rope. This is our moment. Let's make our move now while we can. So within a year, you had a Cuban Missile Crisis, which almost brought the world to the brink of nuclear war. I'm worried not so much about Afghanistan, but the fallout of Afghanistan.
Right.
And a president who is now going to have these crises hit him fast and furiously, and yet he's living in this la-la land. I mean, if he really cared about global warming and greenhouse gas emissions, guess who the number one polluter, the number one, two, three, four, and five polluter in the world is? China.
Right, right.
And yet those issues are not being joined.
Another interesting development out of Afghanistan that I haven't really seen anyone address, but I know you probably have thoughts about it. You've already discussed on this show China's gain in our absence in Afghanistan. Did it also strike you as significantly important that the Taliban turned over a lot of the equipment that we left to the Chinese? Do we still have proprietary stuff in our technology that they could benefit from in having such a transaction?
Well, we don't anymore because they now have it. I mean, two things are going to happen with all the weapons that we fail to either destroy or to bring back home. Number one, they're now in the hands of the Taliban. We have just armed and enabled the world's most powerful rogue nation terrorist country, and we have just armed them with state-of-the-art weapons. But the other thing is that the Chinese and the Russians and the Iranians are, you better believe, are getting their hands on the military equipment from the Taliban. The Taliban's either giving it or selling it. And those countries are going to reverse engineer all of our technology so that if the United States has to meet any of these countries in battle, we hope not, but if we ever did, these other nations already have the leg up because they know exactly what our technology is and is capable of and how to defend against it.
Speaking of nuclear technology, the only reference the president made today was the way that nuclear weapons are connected to Iran, and we know that he wants to get back into that nuclear deal badly. Do you sense that we're any closer to doing that, or do other things occupy the president's time to such a degree that we're not going to be looking at rejoining the JCPOA?
Well, the administration is going to be, within the next 12 months, they're going to be looking around for some big foreign policy success that they can go to the voters in the midterm elections, and they don't have any, right? There's no new trade deal with China.
Well, Afghanistan was supposed to be that, right? We got out.
Yeah, right. Well, that didn't work out real well, did it? So they're going to be casting about for something they can claim as a victory, and my guess is that there will be a real incentive for them to get another fake Iran nuclear deal done just so that they get the bragging rights. I mean, you know, as I watched him walk up to the podium on television, and I thought, oh, this is like the emperor has no clothes. You know, Biden is talking about some alternate reality. Everybody's politely applauding. The media will, of course, champion him as such a great global world leader, and yet there's nothing there. That emperor has no clothes. He's not a great world leader. The United States' position in the world is in rapid and serious decline. And yet, somehow, everybody's lulled into some sense of complacency, I guess because they still hate Donald Trump. Somehow, this is all Donald Trump's fault, maybe.
I would even argue that the term leader should be used with quotation marks when discussing what we're seeing coming from the White House these days. KT McFarland, I always appreciate your insights in helping us understand what's happening. Thank you for being here.
pleasure and an honor.
There we go. Coming up, Carol Markowitz from the New York Post. We've got to talk with her about, well, the educational system in New York for sure, but she's hot on a couple of other trails today as well. And then the man who wants to be mayor, Curtis Lee, will be dropping by. It's Kevin McCullough, Kevin McCullough Radio. Stay right here.